to move from the transcendent to the virtual, and many other things as well. As you've heard this morning, one of the great sustaining relationships of the Institute has been the relationship with the Birthplace Trust, who've indeed lent us the beautiful things in the front room. And we are lucky enough to have a personification of that relationship. The person we share with the Birthplace Trust, who you know is worth more than either institution could possibly afford for him on their own. David's going to tell us about the incredible things he's doing to make both us and them more available and more visible. Thanks.
Cool, thank you. Well, thanks, Michael. I'm sure I didn't really deserve that introduction, but I'll try my best. My name is David Hopes. I'm a research fellow based here at the Institute, but I'm jointly appointed by the Shakespeare Institute, University of Birmingham, and the Shakespeare Birthplace Trust. Now, Shakespeare Institute this year, celebrating its 60th birthday, it's the new kid on the block. The Shakespeare Birthplace Trust celebrates its 164th birthday this year. And for those of you who don't know, it owns pretty much all that is Shakespearean in Stratford, apart from this building, the RSC, and Holy Trinity Church. It owns five properties with significant connections to Shakespeare, including the Birthplace, which gives it its name, and also an amazing museum, library, and archive collection, which totals somewhere north of 500,000 objects. So my fellowship, which was a joint fellowship, is based around digital and how to use digital to best effect at both organisations. The fellowship started in January of this year and runs for 3 years. Now, unlike Ewan's brilliant talk, my talk is very light on Shakespeare, I'm afraid. That's because I don't know a great deal about him. I come from the north of the country, and my subject specialism was another bard, Robert Burns. And you can see Burns morphing into Shakespeare here. This was actually taken from a card I was given by the staff I used to work with at the Robert Burns Birthplace Museum in Alloway, Scotland. So on the face of it, perhaps I'm an odd choice to come here to Stratford, but I was working with a collection which is broadly similar to the Shakespeare Birthplace Trust collection. In fact, it was formed by a trust founded in 1814, Burns Monument Trust, by Alexander Boswell, the son of James Boswell of Auchinleck. You might know his name. So the collections were very similar, so there was a natural fit between what I was doing and where I was going. And also, while I was at Robert Burns Birthplace Museum, I started a few digital projects. And one was a parody of Burns's famous poem, To a Mouse. It was called To Your Mouse. It's a bit cheesy, but again, no pun intended. But it was all about user-driven innovation and user attitudes to digital and to museum collections. So there is a bit of a reason why I'm here, I'm sure. Now, both organisations, SBT and the SI, have a natural curiosity in digital and it's, and the opportunities that digital can offer for representing heritage and making the best of learning and really improving our place in the world in terms of how we take the authentic in terms of where we are in Stratford, the material culture and learning in Stratford, and make it something different, take it to other continents using digital. I think both organisations wanted a reflective practitioner, so that really is the sort of sum total of my job. So I think about digital for both organisations. I carry out research concerning digital and the normal operations of both organisations and advise on ways forward through using digital. Now, I believe there's nothing too complicated that can't be summed up by a good diagram, especially a Venn diagram. There should be a knee up in the corner. I apologise to mathematicians who might be here. But basically, I think this diagram sums up my job. At the heart of the job is partnership, because I'm a joint appointment between the two organisations. But I was tasked initially by doing a situation review, mainly of the SBT, but also of the SI, finding out where we are with digital at the moment before moving forward through research and through practical projects to suggest a strategy, a way ahead for both organisations. And that's what I've been doing since I started in January of this year. I published a report called Digital Shakespeare. It's a digital access audit, an audit of 14 major Shakespeare collections worldwide, ranging from the Folger, I think we have David here from the Folger today, to the Newbery in Chicago, to all three major collections in Stratford, to Birmingham's collection as well. And really it was interrogating each of those organizations to see how they're using digital at the moment to improve access, to improve learning, etc. So if you've got a spare half hour, have a look at the SBT website and have a look at that report. It was really a benchmarking exercise for the SBT in particular to see how it compares with other organizations and how they're using digital. So that was part of the external review. Internally, there was a great deal of work to be done, especially at the SBT, in terms of finding out what our users want from the collections and how we can use digital to deliver that. I carried out a number of staff and user surveys at the SBT and also did a bit of horizon scanning and put all of those thoughts and findings into a document called Digital Development Strategy. Sounds very boring, I know, but it makes some attempt really to point the way forward while still looking around. I think what the DDS does in particular, which no other strategy document does, is proposes an embedded approach to digital, in other words, to make it part of normal operations. It proposes attitudes to digital, which is a new thing, but also change control. So if anything new comes up on the horizon, as it does with exhilarating pace in the digital world, then SBT will have a way of reacting to that. Also, what one feature of this report, which I think is unique, is a return on investment calculator for the heritage sector. That's taking the mission and market of the SBT and tailoring it so that it can measure new opportunities to make a business case for them and to see how compatible they are with its raison d'etre. Now, I must apologise for this slide. I was struggling for a picture to represent a virtual learning environment, but I've no idea what this woman is doing. I was going to... It's somewhere between... I was going to put Yorick Skull here to give it a Shakespearean slant, but it looks a bit more like Edward Scissorhands, for those of you who have seen the movie. But anyway, I, as well as researching and that research being fed into the normal operations of both organisations, I just started a PhD, which will look at the use of historic artefacts, which are held largely by SBT, but also here in the Institute Library, how those artefacts can be used in virtual learning environments. It's something that's hopefully of natural interest, mutual interest to both the SBT and the SI, because I'm sure you know that the SI, 2 years ago, Erin? Wait, before that. It has a burgeoning distance learning program. It's a real growth area for the University of Birmingham. And how best we can grow that market, I think, lies in the use of digital and the use of what we have here in Stratford, especially the SBT collection. So I'm especially interested in the dynamics which surround the development of digital and how communities of practice, the techie community like hackers, heritage professionals, curators, librarians, archivists, and learning specialists, how they interact with each other and how they innovate collectively around artifacts with the agency of digital. I'm also managing one or two projects. The biggest one that the SBT has on the go at the moment, do you like the iPad frame? Yeah, very good, yeah. Biggest one that the SBT have on the go, the biggest project, is called Shakespeare Bites, and it's a partnership project with one academic partner, Coventry University, and two commercial partners, Hewlett-Packard and Danwood. And we were given about £250,000 by the Technology Strategy Board to create an immersive heritage model for visitors to Stratford, which would pull on the collections that SBT own. That will involve primarily creating a smartphone app which is for iPhones and for the iPad, thus the frame. As I mentioned, the app itself should use the collections that SBT have. If you see over here on the left-hand side, we have an historic map from the collections. This is Winter's map of 1802. Sorry? I beg your pardon. I told you I knew nothing about Shakespeare. Okay, thank you. It's James Saunders' map of 1802 of Stratford, and we've Googlified it, if you like. We have map pins in there, which you'll be familiar with on Google Maps. We've identified 10 key sites for visitors to Stratford-upon-Avon, mainly in the centre of the town, and each of them will be marked with a pin. And the idea is that once you get to these sites with the aid of GPS, You'll have a push notification on your phone, and you'll then have a choice, once you get to the site, a choice of character guide. Now, I know this information is incorrect. That's not Mary Arden's cottage. That's not even spelt properly. Neither is Stephen Fry in the app, I have to say, but it's a visual representation at this stage. But we're going to be using different perspectives on each of the main sites in Stratford through the eyes of different character guides. And this idea came about through a conversation with Tara Hamling, who works here at the Institute, in Starbucks. We met in Starbucks. All the best ideas come from Starbucks, I think. Tara's ideas about the multi-layered history of Stratford-upon-Avon's history being like a palimpsest, fitted itself very well to the idea of different guys giving different perspectives on different sites and using different artifacts to give their story or their impression of each of those sites. So the choices which visitors will have, one is William Shakespeare, another is David Garrick, another is David Tennant, and a snail is another guide, mainly for a connection to As You Like It. Would that be right? Yeah, the comparison of a schoolboy going to school very slowly like a snail. It's mainly for younger audiences. But there is one other character guide who is associated very much with the building we're in at the moment. This is an extract from the 1911 census return for Stratford-upon-Avon, and it shows the household information for here at Mason Croft, and it's been described by its famous resident, one Mary Corelli. Now, Corelli was a best-selling novelist of her day, and she was a great writer of fiction, and she's put those skills to the test, or to great effect, in filling out the census return for Mason Croft, because she uses her stage name, Mary Corelli. In fact, her name was Mary Mackay. She says that she's 38. You see here, she was actually 56 when this was this was filled in. And she said she was born in Italy. She was actually, in fact, born in Bayswater, London. But for me, artifacts come alive when you get that human interest element. So there was a great power, I think, in including character guides and their slants on the history of Stratford and on the history of the collections over at SBT. So Corelli will be one of the guides. We're going to use QR tags around the place. For those of you familiar with them, they look a bit like this. But you'll be able to scan, mainly on the exterior of buildings around Stratford, discreetly placed, of course, one of these funny-looking tags, and you'll then get to a piece of discrete information. For example, this is Corelli in the gazebo, which is in the garden here. I think it's the only photograph which exists of Corelli in her place, her writing place. I think she wrote some of her novels in the gazebo. So we're going to be using QR, mainly outside in Stratford, but there'll be three loops, I hope, for people to scan tags inside. One is the birthplace. There's a reinterpretation happening there in the spring of next year. Here in Mason Croft, I hope, as well, and over at the RSC building. So you'll be able to take your app and scan away to your heart's content inside these buildings. I think the nature of the built heritage in Stratford-upon-Avon lends itself to some emerging technologies as well. Most of you will recognise Nashe's house on the left-hand side. There's a gap next to it, which is the site of Shakespeare's last home, New Place. It's been the scene for about 2 years of excavations, which were sponsored by SBT but carried out by Birmingham Archaeology, which is a company from the University of Birmingham. So if you like, it's partnership on the ground, or in the ground, I should say, another example of the two organisations working together. We're going to be using augmented reality technologies to recreate New Place based on the findings of the dig to offer visitors some sort of idea of what New Place would have looked like. I can't take credit for that. That was done for an advert for the dig. But we're going to be doing something similar to that with the app, and we're going to be trying out new ideas in creating souvenirs, so that, for example, your family can pose in front of virtual New Place. You can then use Snapfish to make it into postcards, and ka-ching, we get some money for it as well. So it's a way of supporting heritage here in Stratford. That's the official line. Other projects, very quickly. We'll be digitising for the app, so there's a 12-month programme of digitisation happening at SBT, which will also include items from the Institute Library here. They will feed the app and provide fresh content for it. But also recently, myself and colleagues here at the Shakespeare Institute managed to persuade the good folks at the Virtual Manuscript Room, which is run by the Institute for Textual Studies and Electronic Editing, ITSE, at the University of Birmingham, to host files that we already had on the shelf, which weren't publicly accessible. So we have 1,500 new digital objects, including shooting scripts. Correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, but I think we have Kenneth Branagh's Henry V. Yep. We have 15 prompt books, which were not online before, and we also have a lot of correspondence, including some correspondence from Mary Cowden Clark, who was the first to put together a concordance of Shakespeare, I believe. So that's one effort to get to push content out into the public realm. Also, we've just set up a blog, a blessed blog, which is for staff and for students and for alumni and for the wider Shakespeare community, and very much following the example of the SBT, who are blogtastic. Lots of blogs out there to push content. We also have a number of other channels, YouTube, Vimeo. There's a regular podcast from the Thursday seminars here. And we have a Flickr site, it's a set within Flickr, which is part of Arts at Birmingham. So check us out. Incidentally, all the photographs that you saw on the right-hand side on the way in will be put on Flickr, so with the permission of SBT. We've also started, Erin has started this week, microblogging. So it's just a way of reaching new audiences and building a sense of community through digital channels. This is my final slide, I promise. I mentioned that partnership was at the heart of everything that I do. With colleagues here at the Institute and over at the SBT, I put together a document called The Road to 2016, which is a strategy document which sets out a joint vision and action plans set around six areas of mutual interest, which is a bit like an entente cordiale, really, within Stratford, to see us through the next 5 years, which are very important in the build-up to the 400th anniversary of the death of Shakespeare. Why am I showing a slide of a ticket to the SBT houses? Well, 2 weeks ago, 131 of these babies were printed by the SBT for the SI. So every student who studies here has been given a free ticket to all five houses for a year by the Shakespeare Birthplace Trust. It might be looked at as an example of quantitative easing in Stratford, but actually it has a serious message, a small, significant gesture, if you like, and I can think of no better way of investing in the relationship between the SBT and the SI through students and through visitors. So if Diana Owen, the director of SBT, is here, no, she's not. Anyway, thanks to Diana. It's a great gesture. And thank you.